Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast, and I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from Vikings Entertainment Network Studios at Winter Park. I'm here with producer Nate Vaughn. We're here to discuss with you guys a little bit of an off-season update on the Minnesota Vikings. It's been a little bit more than a week since we've checked in, so we thought we'd check in with you guys and see what was going on, and more importantly, tell you some things that are going on in Vikings world. Let's start with a Super Bowl weekend recap. After that, we'll get into a Senior Bowl recap, a few other notes, some dates to remember going forward, and a Vikings Stadium update. But first, we're going to talk about what is on everyone's mind right now, the Super Bowl, which happened last weekend. Of course, the Denver Broncos defeating the Carolina Panthers to claim the championship. Before the Super Bowl, the night before the Super Bowl, the NFL has what they call the NFL Honors, which is basically the NFL's version of its postseason awards show. And the Vikings representation on the night was, of course, Adrian Peterson, who won the FedEx Ground Player of the Year after a season in which he led the NFL with 1,485 rushing yards, the fourth most rushing yards by a running back in a single season in Vikings history. He also had 11 touchdowns. So another great season by Adrian Peterson. He garners yet another postseason award, the FedEx Ground Player of the Year award. And I think after a while, they should just start renaming the award after Adrian. It's the fifth time he's won the FedEx NFL Ground Player of the Year award. So congratulations to Adrian on his fifth FedEx Ground Player of the Year award, the third time he's led the NFL in rushing. So we have some sound from Adrian winning this award. You can hear from Adrian, from Kyle Rudolph, from Steve Mariucci, and from Ray Lewis.
It really means a lot. You know, I know it's voted on by the fans. You know, it just means a lot to be voted as the, you know, the FedEx Ground Player of the Year award. It's a great accomplishment. The donations that they make to the Red Cross, it all ties in, and it's just great to be a part of it and to be the winner of it this year.
Well, it's no secret that Adrian really is the best running back in football, and Hall of Fame caliber player who's really, really special, and we're happy he's on our team, and we're very happy for Adrian to have won that award.
Well deserved. You know, obviously, we're all biased. We think he's the best in the league, so it's great to see his tremendous season recognized with the award.
Words can't describe his handshake. I mean, he's our best running back in the league. I don't care what age he is right now, he's our best running back, and he's good for the league. I know he's good for the Vikings, but he's good for the National Football League. And I'm one of those old school guys who loves to see us run the football a little bit. And North Turner did a great job utilizing his skills.
Sometimes to get to a certain point in life, I always say your comfort zone must be disturbed, right? Because sometimes you'll coast through life, and you're never challenged to go to that next level. And sometimes it's bad, right? Sometimes people will never understand it. Sometimes people will view it so many different ways. But if you got the fight and you have the will to keep going, then it pans out to be like this. So I think his story can inspire many people.
The following night, of course, was Super Bowl. Super Bowl 50, a landmark event for the NFL, celebrating the 50th Super Bowl in NFL history. A lot of fun. I thought it was an entertaining game to watch for those of you who are not only offensive football snobs. If you like some good defense every now and then, you certainly liked the Super Bowl. 24-10 was the score. That's not a high-scoring game, but the defense was so good in this Super Bowl, Nate, that even that score makes the game sound higher scoring than it really was. It really wasn't a 24-10 type of game. It was even lower scoring than that. Some incredible, incredible defensive play on both sides of the scoreboard with the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos in Super Bowl 50.
Well, part of the reason for that score looking the way it did was the defensive touchdown scored by the Denver Broncos in the first quarter. So there's your answer to part of that. But I agree, it was definitely a defensive game rather than some of the offensive showdowns we've had in some recent history.
You have, you know, both of the quarterbacks, obviously, and what happened in the Super Bowl yielded some storylines and some talkers in the aftermath of the Super Bowl. But I want to focus on the Peyton Manning storyline. And if that is it for Peyton Manning, and he has not decided whether or not he's going to come back and play in 2016, but if that's it for Peyton Manning, you really can't script it much better than that for him as he rides off into the sunset with a Super Bowl win. And a fitting piece of symmetry that I liked about this was John Elway did the same thing. He's the current GM of the Broncos. In his final game of his career, he and the Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl, and that sets it up for Peyton Manning to kind of do the same. Again, we don't know if he's going to be done or not, but kind of a fitting way for the Sheriff to end his career if he does indeed choose to retire.
A fitting way to end it, but also sort of the opposite of many of his seasons in the NFL. He definitely did not blow up a stat line with a super impressive performance from quarterbacking standards that we've seen from him as recent as two seasons ago.
Yeah.
And certainly many, many more seasons before that.
Yeah. And I guess that kind of leads me to maybe the main takeaway from a Vikings perspective on the Super Bowl. I think it's encouraging.
Tell me why. I'm interested, Wabi.
Because we hear all the time that defense wins championships, right?
We do hear that often.
And we hear it even though everyone pretty much describes the NFL as a passing league, right? And we hear all the time, the NFL is a passing league driven by the play of quarterbacks. But the latest Super Bowl champions, the Denver Broncos, are reminding us that the passing attack isn't the only important component to building a winner in a passing league. If the quarterback is the most important position in the game, which I believe it is, then wouldn't you say that the players responsible for neutralizing the quarterback are close to as important, right?
Some of those players being cornerbacks on the defensive side, safeties, but also, as we saw a prime example of in the Super Bowl, defensive ends and outside linebackers rushing the passer.
Pass rushers. Yep, exactly. I mean, you have the Denver Broncos, who sacked quarterback Cam Newton 7 times. Cam Newton, the quarterback of a team that was the highest scoring team in the NFL, scoring 31.2 points per game entering the Super Bowl, and the Denver Broncos held Carolina to 10 points, 3 touchdowns below their regular season average. And this wasn't a new style of play for the Broncos. Their defense led the NFL in sacks in the regular season with 52, which was 3 more than the next closest team, the New England Patriots. And unsurprisingly, Denver having that great of a pass rush led to or helped contribute to a great pass defense because the Broncos led the NFL in sacks. They gave up the fewest passing yards in 2015. They allowed the 3rd fewest passing touchdowns and yielded the 4th lowest passer rating. And so why is this good news for the Vikings? Well, because a lot of people think the Vikings are trying to build something similar to what Denver has done. Not similar in scheme or strategy necessarily, but just style of play, sound play up front on the defensive line and being able to pressure the passer. The Vikings tied for 7th in the NFL with 43 sacks in 2015. That was just 1 sack fewer than NFC champion Carolina and 9 fewer than Denver. The other 4 teams outside of Carolina and Denver who finished the season with more sacks than the Vikings in 2015 all made the playoffs. New England, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and Houston joined Carolina and Denver as the only teams to finish with more sacks than the Vikings. So, long story longer, the top 7 teams in sack total in 2015 all made the playoffs. If you expand the time frame to 2 seasons in order to include Zimmer's first season in Minnesota in 2014 as well as 2015, the Vikings look equally as good because only 6 teams have more sacks than the Vikings' 84 sacks since Mike Zimmer took over, and those teams are a combined 118 and 74 in that 2-year span. So the Vikings doing something right, building something right on the defensive side of the football, being able to rush the passer at the rate they're rushing the passer. I think it's not hard to sell hope about the Vikings right now. But I think the Denver winning the Super Bowl and the way they won it gives those of us who are charged with selling hope about the Vikings, Nate, it gives us even more ammunition. So that was my take, my Vikings-related take on why I think the way Denver won the Super Bowl is encouraging for the Vikings. Because if you look, Nate, up and down the Vikings defensive roster, I think you see a team that, Denver won the Super Bowl with the number one defense in the NFL, and they have a lot of really good players on the defensive side of the ball. Does Minnesota have that same level of talent? I don't know. You know, we'd have to ask some scouts and some talent evaluators, but you certainly can see them kind of doing things the same way. I mean, you look at Anthony Barr, Everson Griffin, Eric Kendricks, Harrison Smith, Xavier Rhodes, a lot of talented players on the Vikings defense. And I think that will lead to some optimism, Nate, for the Vikings in the offseason.
So do you have your hotel rooms booked then for February in Houston?
Yeah, Houston, right? I suppose we should give some of those hotels a call and make sure there are rooms for us, because we're going to need them next February.
And then the year after that, we don't have to worry about that because it'll be here.
That's right. No hotels necessary. We get to sleep on our own beds as we host the Super Bowl and hopefully are playing in the Super Bowl. That's it for Super Bowl recap. Anything else?
No.
Pretty much does it, right?
Yeah, that's the end of the season.
Right. You had Vikings owner Mark Wilf on Radio Row. We'll get into a little bit more of that on why he was there later on in the Wobcast. But next, I want to turn back the clock a little bit more and go all the way back to Senior Bowl. We had a Senior Bowl preview with our very own Craig Peters a couple of weeks ago as we got with him and had him on the Wobcast while he was down there to kind of preview what was coming up and what he saw in the first couple of days. He has since returned and has written a bunch about that, so I encourage you, if you have not checked it out, go to Vikings.com, check out some of the work that Craig Peters did while he was down there from a written standpoint. We also have some videos up there from the Senior Bowl. So for those of you who are gearing up for the draft already, you're going to love that Senior Bowl content. You're also going to love what we have coming up next. One of our favorite podcasts here at the Wobcast, Move the Sticks, took a look at the Senior Bowl studs from a couple weeks ago.
All right, Buck, let's move on here to Senior Bowl. Spent a lot of time down there. I thought, first of all, before we get into some specific players that really kind of stood out to us, just your overall impressions of the group, maybe a position you thought we saw some strength as well as maybe a place we might be a little light.
I thought it was a really good group. I thought it was a great group. It's probably one of the more deeper Senior Bowl rosters that I've seen. And I felt like the strength of this draft and the strength of the Senior Bowl lies right there in the defensive line. This defensive line class that we have, particularly a defensive tackle, is as deep and as talented as any that we've seen in recent years. And because of that, there are going to be some very good players that come off the board on day two that in other years would probably be first-round picks.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Maybe a position not as strong, wide receiver. We've seen two great classes the last 2 years. I think this year it's definitely a drop-off in the overall talent level at that position. But to me, the headliner of the group this week or at the Senior Bowl was Carson Wentz, quarterback from North Dakota State. Buck, I can't remember a player having more pressure on him entering into the week of practice down there. I mean, I went ahead and put him up there at number four to the Dallas Cowboys in my mock draft, which kind of caught some people by surprise. But I think he's my seventh overall player in this draft class. But it was kind of, okay, how's he going to make that adjustment? Going from North Dakota State, now he's at the Senior Bowl, big stage, playing against all the top players in the country. How would he adjust? I thought he had a great week of practice. He showed you everything you needed to see from an arm strength standpoint. He moved around, created some plays with his legs. And I thought just overall his ability to kind of master the moment. He was showed a lot of poise. I watched him all week interacting with everybody. It was not too big for him. He did not look like a fish out of water. In fact, I thought he clearly established him by far as the best quarterback down there in Mobile. And I think he's going to have a very good shot at being the first quarterback off the board when it's all said and done.
I agree with you. He's going to have a great shot at being the first quarterback off the board. What I liked on film, I saw verified down at the Senior Bowl. I thought he was a big athletic passer, a guy with a strong arm. I thought he could make every throw that you wanted to see. The ball jumps off his hand with zip and velocity. His ability to throw those deep sideline outs from the middle of the field to me was impressive. I loved how you talk about his poise, his ability to handle the moment. The big thing that I had coming in, I worried about how would he be with a room full of stars at big programs, him coming from an FCS program, would he be able to handle it? Could he be a leader? And by all accounts, watching from the outside looking in, he looked like he handled it in splendid fashion. And I think this is a guy that we will continue to talk about. You already have him up there at number four with the Dallas Cowboys. I believe it's a two-horse race for the number one spot. It's between he and Jared Goff. But based on his size, his stature, the things that we were able to see at the Senior Bowl, he has a lot of momentum heading in the right direction. He may overtake Goff, in my mind, as the number one quarterback prospect.
How about a defensive end? To me, the class of the group, Noah Spence from Eastern Kentucky, was by far the most dominant edge rusher during the week of practice. You talk about somebody that has different pitches. He can beat you with pure speed. He showed a nice inside counter. He showed some snap with a bull rush. He's got that knack coming off the edge. For those that aren't familiar with his story, started out at Ohio State. I believe he was the number one high school recruit in the country as a pass rusher. Buck, you can help me on that one.
I think so. I think he was definitely a five-star, highly regarded.
Big-time talent coming out of high school. Goes to Ohio State. Got in some issues there, had some drug issues. Found his way to Eastern Kentucky, where he dominated last year. It sounds like he's got things cleaned up a little bit. I guess there's some reports out there that he interviewed well, some other reports that he didn't interview well. I think that'll vary by the team when you talk to him. But you just talk about physical ability and physical talent. He's a first-round player. Now, maybe he gets punished for his past misbehavior and slides into the second round. But to me, based off the Senior Bowl guys, we've got some other players that are going to come in the mix here, these underclassmen, some edge rushers. But senior edge rushers, it's Noah Spence and everybody else.
Yeah, I think he's the first horse. I think he's the lead horse in the stable. I think he has the ability to be a dominant player. The funny thing about Noah Spence, and the Joey Bosa fans will bark at this, but before Noah Spence was dismissed, no one really talked about Joey Bosa to that fashion. I mean, Noah Spence was the cast me out when it came to the Ohio State defensive line. His ability to rush the passer, first step quickness, dip and rip, the bend and balance that you see him turning the corner with, to me reminded me of the same thing that I saw from Von Miller when he was at the Senior Bowl years and years ago. And so we all know that pass rushers are coveted at a premium. If he interviews well at the combine and going forward in his private workouts and when he makes that team visit, I believe at the end of the day, he's going to be a guy that's in the conversation in the top 15 because everyone wants a closer, a guy that can close out the game when you have a lead. Noah Spence is the best closer in the draft. A lot of intrigue about this guy and what he brings to the table.
So there you have it, Noah Spence, a defensive end. Is he a 3-4? Is he a 4-3 guy? I guess we don't really know, but it doesn't really matter what we think right now because I remember, Nate, a lot of people thought Anthony Barr was a 3-4 outside linebacker, and he's one of the best outside linebackers in the NFL, in my opinion, right now in a 4-3 scheme. So I don't want to pigeonhole guys into one scheme right now because these guys are such good athletes now that I think a good coach can get them to play in any type of scheme. But Noah Spence, certainly a guy to watch. And Carson Wentz, I saw just earlier today, Mike Mayock declared he's the best quarterback in this draft. And that's saying something because I think there are a couple of other pretty good ones in this draft as well. So a local product out of North Dakota State getting lots of love, Carson Wentz. We'll be following those two guys and all the others at the NFL Scouting Combine later this month. Nate Vaughn and I will both be there, along with several other members of the Vikings Entertainment Network, bringing you all the action from the NFL Scouting Combine. So we encourage you to stay tuned for that and to check out some of our great content. All right, before we close it up, a couple more things, Nate. Winterfest, formerly known as Arctic Blast, now known as Winterfest, is coming up February 19th to the 21st. Yours truly will be there. I'll be hosting Voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen's 9 to noon show with PA from Grandma's in Duluth on Friday morning. So we encourage you to check that out. And then I'll be up there for the rest of the day Friday and for part of the day Saturday when the event begins. It's the first ever Polaris Vikings Winterfest. It'll be held Friday, February 19th through Sunday, February 21st in Duluth, Minnesota. The three-day event designed to be a family-friendly event designed to raise money for the Vikings Children's Fund. Current Vikings players, alumni, and several Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders will attend the festivities. All Winterfest registrations must be completed by midnight this Sunday, February 15th, but you can register the day of the event if you go to the Duluth Heritage Center lobby from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Again, Vikings Polaris Winterfest, February 19th to the 21st. In Duluth. We encourage you to check it out. For more information, go to Vikings.com. A few other dates to pay attention to. The Combine, February 23rd to the 29th in Indianapolis, Indiana. After that, the new league year / free agency begins on March 9th. That'll be an exciting day and an exciting week. And then you have the NFL draft later in April, at the end of April, actually, April 28th to the 30th. So mark your calendars for those three events. Again, the Combine, Feb 23 to 29, free agency, March 9th, and the draft, April 28 to 30. Before we go, a stadium update. We'll have a lot of coverage this offseason on Vikings.com about U.S. Bank Stadium. it's nearing what, the 90% completion mark?
That's the number I've heard.
Okay, so we're 9/10 of the way there. We're getting there. And it's completely enclosed, and basically everything they're doing, not everything, but the vast majority of what they're doing is inside the building. Now, they're sprucing it up, making it look good. Rumor has it they're starting to think about laying the turf down. And, like, I think when you get the grass in there and you get the seats in there, you really start to feel like that thing is coming together. Nate Vaughn and I and the rest of the VEN crew got to tour the building a couple of weeks ago. Really coming along nicely. The 90% completion mark. We're going to have tons of updates on US Bank Stadium coming up on Vikings.com this offseason. So please pay attention to all of that. Now, Super Bowl prep. The Super Bowl 50 just completed. Super Bowl 51 in Houston. Super Bowl 52 is in Minnesota. So after the 2017 season, the Vikings will host the Super Bowl. Don't be fooled by that. The Super Bowl is in 2018, but it's not after the 2018 season. It's after the 2017 season. Mark Wilf, lots of members of the Vikings front office and ownership group, and the Minnesota Super Bowl host committee. They were all in the Santa Clara, San Francisco area last week, checking out all the events of the Super Bowl, the actual day of the Super Bowl, the venue where it's being played, what's going on, taking notes of best practices. So you hear lots of talk about that coming up. And then in our own stadium right now, the big boards, when we were there, Nate, obviously very impressed with the size of the big boards. We have a video on the site right now, which kind of talks about the process of installing those and how they will make the fan experience in the new stadium something that is kind of unparalleled in the league. Certainly in the Midwest and maybe even in the league. Obviously, the Dallas Cowboys have a great video board that is center hung. The Vikings video boards, though, are on the edges of the stadium. It'll be a calling card, I believe, of that building. That's all I got. Anything else?
That's it. It's weird. There's not a lot to talk about in the offseason.
I think we'll be back next week, though, talking more about the Vikings offseason. We want to incorporate some fan questions and tweets, so make sure you you tweet us. At Wobby or at Vikings. Make sure you send some emails to us. Ask us some questions. We'd like to incorporate those into future Wobcasts. Maybe we'll get a hold of Pete Bursich or Ben Lieber, our resident analysts. Ben Lieber, who does sideline analysis for our preseason broadcast. And, of course, Pete Bursich, who is PA sidekick during the preseason and the regular season, calling Vikings games from the radio booth. So we'll have that and much more coming up in future Wobcasts. The next one will come next week. We can take a deeper dive into previewing the Combine because Nate and I will be there in a couple of weeks as well. So it's the off season, but we are still at work here at Winter Park and here on the Wobcast. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. We'll be back next week, but until then, take it easy.